Amen. If you know he's an excellent God, you ought to say he's excellent. That means he does everything well. Amen. How many know he's an excellent God? Yes, he is. There's nothing marginal about him. He's an excellent God. Amen. Thank you, children, for stirring our hearts today. Amen. He is an excellent God. Amen. There's a word I want to lift today, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. While you're looking for it, a verse of amazing grace. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretched like me. To sing that without singing the next verse, because it really ministered to us and really, really hits all of us at home. Through many days, just Jamaica, turn them. 'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far. How you gonna make it? And grace will lead me home. Now listen, maybe I don't have nothing to praise God for, but I got something to praise him for. Did y'all just see my mama walk down the aisle? She wasn't in no wheelchair. She wasn't on no walker. She walked down the aisle by herself. Praise God. Can y'all help me? Praise God. God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Amen. Truly, we serve an amazing God who can do what the doctors say can't be done. Amen. When everybody else gives up on you and literally close the book and say it's over with. How many know it ain't over till Jesus says that it's over? There's a saying in the sports world that says it ain't over till a fat lady sings, but it ain't over till Jesus says that it's over. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 15, verse 40 and 41, you will find these words. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, and less of Jose and Salome, who also, when he was in Galilee, followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. And I'm going to talk today from the thought, the crisis of missing men. The crisis of missing men. The crisis of missing men. When I read this, I immediately thought about myself, the fact that I am a father and a grandfather. Amen. And there are times when, as a man, as a father, as a grandfather, you want to be with your children. Amen. Amen. And it's really a crisis in our society today that many times when men divorce the wife, they divorce the children also. But it really ought not be that way, because your children still need you. But conversely speaking, many times women make it hard for men to be a part of their children's lives because they make visitation, they make time hard for the father. And so I know this may seem a little out of place, but it really falls in line with Easter, because at the cross, all of the men had deserted him. If you read that, there were only women there. And I started to think about that. I started to think about the home. I started to think about the family, the black home, the black family in particular. about the crisis of missing men. If we counted in here today, I dare say that there would be twice as many women as there are men in church today. Where are the men? I looked at the world as a whole and the conditions of it, and again, the question comes reverberating and cascading through the corridors of time. Why is there a crisis of missing men? I looked at this scripture, and it may look out of place at a time like this, but again, that's all right. The word of God is in place at any time or any place. So I wondered where the men are who had been with him in the prior scene, except for John, who gets the new assignment to be the son of Jesus' mother. Then I thought about it and said to the Holy Spirit, that's not necessarily true, because there were some men on the scene. The Spirit said to me there were some males on the scene, because anatomical distinction does not make for spiritual disposition. I said, what do you mean, Holy Spirit? He said, there were some males there. There were some males who were crucified with him. He said, but real men are not insecure enough that they have to crucify other men. There were some others there. There were some Jews there. He said, yeah, but you can be religious without really being a man. I said, but there was some men hanging on the cross. He said, yeah, but one of them made fun of him, and real men don't celebrate the pain of another man when he's in pain. I said, but there were some men standing around. He said, yeah, but they were mocking him. Real men are not so weak that they stand around whispering about other men. No men around. And I simply wanted to suggest to you today that we need some real men. We need some men with discipline. We need some men who are not afraid to stand up and say, I have a right to see and spend time with my children. We don't need just males who come to church. We need men who are priests of their home, men who take their rightful place, men who know how to pray, men who know how to preach in their homes, men who know how to be leaders in their communities, men who know how to be leaders in their church, men who know how to pray with their wives and their children, men who know how to anoint their homes, men who know how to take care of their homes, men who know how to handle their finances, who know how to handle their temptations, men who know how to stand up with joy in their heart, real men, not men who are insecure, not men who stand around talking about other men who stand up and hold up other brothers, men who stand up and pray for the peace of their city, the peace of their state, and the peace of their country. Jesus is looking for some real men. He's looking for some real men who are bold and courageous, men who are not afraid of the enemy, men who can look the devil in the face and tell him, I see you. Men who can tell the devil, you can't have my family, you can't have my child, you can't have my boys in my community. Men who will stand up and say, don't build more jails, build more schools. Men who will stand up and say, time to get off welfare and open up your own business. Men who are falling away, and I need to know today if there are any real men in here today who will say, I am a real man that's willing to stand up and be counted as a man. Men who stand up and say, time to get off welfare, time to open up your own business. And if you happen to notice in all of the gospel, the women took note of where they laid him. The women noticed where they laid the Savior. So they knew where to find him, and they got revelation from him. The men, listen, the men missed a moment of the revelation because they were not in place. Because you always miss out when you are missing. You always miss out when you're missing, which means their joy did get restored eventually, but they were depressed longer than they needed to be because they were not in place to see the revelation. That what they were disappointed in had already been turned around. They thought that he was dead forever. But because they were out of place, they missed the revelation. And some of you in here have been going through longer than you should have. And the only reason you're still going through is you weren't in place to get your revelation. So you're missing out because you were missing. Can I tell you that every Sunday you miss church, you miss a revelation. Every Sunday you decide to stay at home and sleep in your bed and get what you call some much needed rest, you miss a revelation. There is a revelation every Sunday in the Word of God. And listen, you can't get revelation without the Word of God. And you've got to be in place for the Lord to speak to you, to bring you up out of your discouragement. This is a word for not just men, but for folk who have fallen away. This is a sermon not just for men. This is a sermon about anybody who started off strong, but you ended up weak. And if we can be honest in here, sisters, y'all were jumping a few minutes earlier, brothers aren't the only ones who fall away. Every one of us know what it's like to start off strong, but fall away. Every one of us know what it means to follow him with commitment, but somewhere along the way, we get lost in our commitment. But the shout is, at the end of the gospel, he calls for the men. He calls them to baptize in his name. And listen, no matter how far you've fallen away, God has a purpose for your life. And no matter how far you strayed, God is going to send somebody looking for you because he's not through with you yet. Isn't that good news today to know that God is not through with me? That no matter what I've done, God still has purpose for me and for my life. Now that should have made somebody shout, because you know you strayed away, you know you fell away, you know you were out there doing your own thing, but how many can shout he came looking for you and called you by your name? To let you know no matter how far you've fallen away. So the question for me was, what happened to the men? What happened? Why did they desert the Savior? Where were they? What happened? The first thing the Spirit said to me is that they weren't there because they weren't properly dealing with their disappointment. They were disappointed. They were suffering with the pain of unmet expectations. They never imagined that it would come to this. I mean, they never thought it would come to this. And have you ever been in a predicament where you said, I never imagined that it would come to this? Have you ever been in a situation where you said, I didn't think it would turn out like it has? Have you ever come to the end of a situation and you said to yourself, this is not how I thought everything would play out? Have you ever been in a situation where you said to yourself, I didn't see this coming? Have you ever had expectations that were unmet, and because they were wrong expectations, they ended up being unmet expectations? See, whenever you try to hold the Lord to your expectations, you will always end up disappointed. Because what you want is not always what you need. How many know he knows better what you need than you do? How many of you can be a witness in here that God allows you to have some stuff you thought you wanted? And once you got it, you said, Lord, please take it away. I didn't know what I was doing. How many of y'all begged the Lord? Lord, I want him so bad. I want her so bad. Lord, if you just let me have them. Lord, if you just give them to me. And once you got them, you said, God, I didn't know what I was doing. And you can shout now because God took him or her away. Do I have a witness in here today? Can anybody shout because the Lord came and got something you thought you wanted? He let you have it. And after you got it, you realize that wasn't for me. Whenever you try to hold the Lord to fulfilling your expectations, you always end up disappointed. I've discovered that the Lord will sometimes purposely disappoint you so that you learn that he is not bound by your expectations. But he'll break you until you say, Lord, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. They were used to dealing with disappointment. These men thought that they they would be ridiculed and shamed. They gave up everything. They left their businesses. They left their homes. They gave up everything to follow him. And now they're looking stupid because this man they left family, friends, and jobs and businesses for is now dead. They're seemingly made sacrifice without a payoff. And have you ever made a sacrifice and you didn't get the payoff? Have you ever sacrificed for your child and it looked like it didn't pay off? Have you ever done all you could for your child and looked like everything you did, it just was for nothing? Like they just act like they have no home training, like you never taught them anything. Have you ever sacrificed for your family and at the end the result, it looked like it didn't pay off? So Luke tells us that when they got disappointed, they ran behind closed doors. They went in the closet. And what happens to a lot of folk when they experience hurt and disappointment is that they end up going in the closet. What happens to a lot of men when they go through disappointment is they end up in a down low closet. The reason I don't think we see as many men in the church is unmet expectations. Listen. They had the wrong expectations. And that made them run and hide. Not only that, but some of them went back to their old job, which means they went back to what they used to be. Listen, if they had just remembered, he had already told them how it was going to turn out. Listen, disappointment will make you forget what you already know. Let me say that again. Disappointment will make you forget what you already know. He had already told them, if you tear down, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. He'd already told them, I'm leaving you, but sending you another comforter. See, disappointment will make you forget what you already know. Disappointment will make you forget that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Disappointment will make you forget that behind every dark cloud, there's a silver lining. Disappointment will make you forget that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Disappointment will make you forget that God said he'd fight your battles. Anybody here know that God has already told us what he'd do? They've seen him walk on water. They've seen him turn fish and 5 loaves of bread into a congregational feast. They've seen him raise Lazarus from the dead. If they could just remember the power they'd already seen. They know that death is nothing for him to handle. But disappointment will make you forget what you know, will make you forget what you've seen. But Luke says when they ran and hid, he didn't wait for them to come to him, but he busted through the doors. I came to tell some man or some woman here today, if you go into hiding, he'll come to your closet. If you go into hiding, he'll come to your situation. And when you come out of the closet, you'll come out differently than when you went in the closet. Would you tell your neighbor, I'm coming out of the closet. I've been in hiding too long. I'm coming out. I've had unmet expectations, but the Savior came where I was and told me that everything is going to be all right. And you know what? I've got a feeling this morning. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I've got a feeling that everything is going to be all right. How do you know that, preacher? Because the Lord told me that everything was going to be all right. Y'all don't believe me? I just told you, my mama just walked down the aisle. Everything is going to be all right. Do I have a witness in here today that you don't know when, you don't know how, but you just got a feeling? I need some folk that are going through something right now, and you don't know how it's going to end up. You don't know when the Lord's going to bring you out, but anybody got a feeling in here today that everything is going to be all right? Would you encourage your neighbor? Say, neighbor, the preacher told me to tell you that whatever you're going through, everything is going to be all right. That was the wrong neighbor. They didn't say nothing. Turn to the other neighbor and say, neighbor, the preacher told me to tell you, no matter what you're going through, everything is going to be all right. Somebody still hadn't gotten it. Turn to somebody behind you and tell them, I don't care what you're going through. The preacher told me to tell you that everything, not one thing, but everything, it's going to be all right. Secondly, the men needed to upgrade their attitude. in the text in verse 41, these women, when they were in Galilee, they would follow him. They got that in common with the disciples and serve him. See, the men followed and assisted. The women followed and served. When you assist, that's position. But when you serve, that's gratitude. When you serve him, that's gratitude. Why should I serve him? Because when everybody else turned their backs on me, Jesus was right there. When everybody else said you wouldn't make it, Jesus said, you're still my child. When everybody else said you've been to jail, you got pregnant, you got high, you're nobody, you'll never make it, Jesus says, I'll show you that I can help you to make it. Anybody know he'll help you to make it today? Anybody know the only reason you're here today is by the grace of God, and God helped me to make it? See, when you know where you are, where you were and how he treats you, it will give you a level of gratitude that no matter how rough it gets, you'll stay right there. Is there anybody in here today who knows that he has treated you better than anybody else ever did? Do I have a witness in here today? You know how family and friends are. As long as everything is good, you got all the friends you can handle. As long as everything is going well, family is right there with you. But listen, don't get in trouble. Don't get sick and stay sick too long. You discover that folk will walk away from you. Folk will leave you, not just friends, but family as well. My mother and I were talking yesterday, and we were talking about her being sick and daddy being sick, and I don't know how we got on the subject, but she said, I wouldn't want to live with you or Jan. I'd rather y'all just put me in a nursing home. And so I told her, now look, mother, you know you don't want to go to a nursing home. You know they got some real nice ones out there. I said, no matter how nice it is, you know you don't want to go to a nursing home. And as long as the Lord would give me strength and the ability to take care of them, they would never end up in a nursing home. Because that's what family is for. Because when you couldn't take care of yourself, they were there to take care of you. And that's why we ought to love the Lord. Because when everybody else gave up on us, how many know he was right there to take care of us and watch over us? Jesus says, I'll show you'll make it. I'll still call you my child. See, when you know where you are and know how he treats you, it will give you a level of gratitude that no matter how rough it gets, you'll stay right there. Is there anybody in here today who knows that he has treated you better than you ever could, that he's done more for you than anybody could ever do? Somebody here knows that, listen, I'm too thankful not to be grateful. Do I have a witness in here today? It ended by saying that there were many other women. Many other women. It named Martha. It named Mary. But who were these other women? I don't know who they were. But maybe the woman with the issue of blood was there. Because she was so grateful, he dried up her fountain of blood. Maybe the Syrophoenician woman was there because she was so grateful that he got that demon out of her daughter. Maybe the woman caught in adultery was there because she finally found a real man that she could be committed to. Maybe Martha was there because he taught her that service was better and more important than cooking. Maybe Peter's mother-in-law was there because he healed her of her burning fever. Maybe Jairus' wife was there because he raised her daughter from the dead. I don't know how many women were there. I believe they left it in general so you could put your situation in there and say, I'm still right there with him because he healed me, he saved me, he blessed me, he kept me, covered me, he delivered me, and I've got to stay right here where Jesus is. Anybody made up your mind, I'm going to stay with the Lord? Come on, I need some honest folk in here today. Come what may from day to day, I've made up my mind. I've started in Jesus, and I'm going through. All of the women, but none of the men were there. They all ran away.
And let me throw in for free today to not just to men, but to everybody in general. You can't run away from a problem. I've heard folks say, I'm leaving Fort Worth. Sick of all this mess in Fort Worth. I'm going to pack up and move to Atlanta. I'm moving to the chocolate city. I'm moving to Atlanta. So they pack their bags and they move to Atlanta. But you know what? When they get there and start unpacking their bags, they unpack the same problems they had in Fort Worth. They got those same problems in Atlanta. Because if you've got a drug problem in Fort Worth, guess what? They got drugs in Atlanta. If you've got a drinking problem in Fort Worth, they've got alcohol in Atlanta. If you've got a lying problem in Fort Worth, they lie in Atlanta just like they do in Fort Worth. You cannot run away from a problem. You got to face your problem. And then deal with your problem. They ran away. They weren't dealing with the disappointment. They needed to upgrade their gratitude. But in the end, in chapter 16, after they ran away, would you tell your neighbor, thank God there's another chapter? I'm going somewhere. Thank God there's listen, I ran from him in the last chapter, but thank God there's another chapter. Y'all missed it. Y'all hadn't got it yet. I messed up in this chapter, but thank God there's another chapter. Boy, y'all slow today. Some of y'all ain't got it yet. I made a bad choice in this chapter, but thank God there's another chapter. Some of y'all ain't got it yet. He died in this chapter, but thank God there's another chapter. Do I have any another chapter folk in here today who can say the only reason I'm saved, the only reason I'm in church, the only reason I've been set free is because when I messed up, that wasn't the end of the story. There's another chapter in my life. And this last chapter says, when he got to the men who had fallen away, he came, it says, in chapter 16, verse 14, he came, it says, to the 11. Y'all watch this. He came to the 11. Now, he ordained it to be 12. But he came to the 11. It was supposed to be 12, but he came to the 11. He didn't wait until they fixed what was broken. He came to the 11. Y'all hadn't got it yet. 11 is an incomplete number from what he intended it to be. Not only is it an incomplete number, but it's not what it started out being. Jesus says, I'm not going to wait until you get your 12 back together. I'm going to bless you even while you're broken. I'm going to bless you even though you're not what you used to be. I'm going to bless you even though you're not what you started out being. Everybody in here ought to be shouting because you know you've got some 11 situations in your life. Things you messed up, things that aren't what they used to be, things that you started out well in, but now you're weak in it. Is there anybody in here today can thank God that he didn't wait for you to fix it? He didn't wait for you to get it together. He didn't wait for you to cross every T and dot every I, but he came to your situation and met you where you were. Thank God he comes to us in our broken situations. Can't you hear him saying, tell my disciples and Peter. They ran out on me, but tell them to meet me. They abandoned me, but tell them to meet me. They denied me, but tell them to meet me. They went back their old ways, but tell them to meet me. Meet me in Galilee. In one of these old days, Jesus is going to say, you fell by the wayside, but meet me. I know you've sinned and fallen short, but meet me. I know we like sheep have all gone astray, but meet me in Galilee. I know you were up sometimes
and down sometimes, but meet me in the middle of the air. I've got a crown of righteousness waiting on you. Is there anybody here that know you've done wrong, but he keeps right on blessing me anyhow? Is there anybody here know you don't deserve to be where you are right now, but the Lord keeps right on blessing me anyhow? As a matter of fact, every time I turn around, the Lord keeps right on blessing me. I've got to leave you now, but as I leave today, if the Lord's really been good to you, if the Lord has made a way for you, would you stand on your feet? And I need you to help me do a little exercise. If the Lord's been good to you and you're not ashamed today, would you help me thank the Lord? Would you help me praise the Lord? If you're not ashamed today, take your neighbor by the hand. Come here, Reverend. Take your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, every time, come on, every time you turn around, the Lord keep right on blessing you. Some of y'all ain't got it yet. Every time I turn around, the Lord keep right on blessing me. Healed my mama, took care of my daddy. Every time I turn around, the Lord keep right on blessing me. Money in my pocket, joy in my heart. Every time I turn around, he keep right on blessing me. Ain't he all right? Ain't the Lord all right? If you know it all right, you ought to turn around one time and say, every time I turn around, the Lord keep right on blessing me. Can you say glory? Can you say glory? Glory. Hallelujah. Ain't it all right? Ain't it all right? There's a crisis. The crisis of missing men. But even if a man walked out on you, even if your daddy walked out on you, I've got good news today. I know a man that promised to never leave you nor forsake you. The good thing is that doesn't matter how bad you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, if any man would open up, I'll come in and sup unto him and him unto me. If you're here today, if you don't know this man we're talking about, well, over 2,000 years ago, he hung, bled, and died on Calvary for your sins, my sins. And if you're here today, you can get to know him by letter, by Christian experience,
You can come as a candidate for baptism. Would you come today? Would you come? Would you come today? Would you come? He was there all the time. He's there all the time. When it seemed like your problems seem more than you can bear, he's there all the time.
He was there.
How many know he's there?
He was there.
Not just sometime.
All the time. My Jesus was there.
Patiently.
Hallelujah. In line, he was there all the time. I'm gonna stand up and say this. He was there. What I did, waited patiently, hallelujah, waited patiently, I waited patiently, oh, Elijah, my Jesus was there, I'm telling you, he was there. Believe me, he was there. He was there. Oh, the time. Hallelujah. He was there. Oh, the time. He was there. And prayed, waited patiently. Hallelujah! Waited patiently. Glory to God. Waited patiently. Oh, my Jesus was there. Keep telling you, he was there. Oh. all the time.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, we thank you today for your preached word. God, we thank you for opening the mysteries of the scripture and revealing new truths. Now, God, there may be somebody here today that says, preacher, you were talking to me like the disciples. I ran away. I abandoned not only Jesus, but I abandoned some people that I love, people that counted on me. I abandoned them. But you told me today that Jesus will come looking for me and accept me back. If that's you today, would you come? Somebody says, preacher, you were talking to me. I've suffered from disappointment and shame. I've done some things I know I shouldn't have done. And because of what people said to me, what people said about me, I found myself hiding like the disciples. But I want to come out of my closet today. I want to come out of hiding. I want to let everybody know that Jesus is my Savior. If that's you today, would you come? Father, somebody says, preacher, you were talking to me. The Lord's been good to me. Even when I wasn't good to myself, the Lord was good to me. And every time I turn around, the Lord keeps on blessing me. If that's you today, would you come?